there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I am your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator with the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Today, I'm talking with Nellie McAdams and Andrea Kramer of the Oregon Agricultural Trust, also known as OAT. And I'm looking forward to this conversation about protecting agricultural lands in Oregon. Welcome to Conservation Spotlight, Nellie and Andrea.
Thanks for having us, Morgan.
Thanks, Morgan.
Yeah, I first found out about OAT shortly after I started this job a few years ago. There were a couple of us that were new at the SWCD, and we saw a fundraiser event that you had organized at a winery. And we thought, oh, that would be a great opportunity to get to know each other outside the office. Let's go. But I know for myself, I gained more than just some bonding time with my coworkers. I left that OAT event feeling completely inspired. And it's clear that you've built a supportive community for farmers and ranchers. You're both very passionate about the work you do, and I want to share that with our listeners. So I would like to see the ag lands through your lens and find out how our listeners can support OAT's mission.
Well, thank you for giving us that opportunity, Morgan, and thank you for looking into our mission. You know, we are really working at helping farmers, farming, and farmland together. So looking at the business, looking at the land that sustains us, and looking at the people who provide our food for us.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear more. And before we dive in and talk about all things OAT, Nellie, I'd like our listeners to have a better picture of agriculture in Oregon. So if you could tell us about the ag lands, the farmers, the ranchers in Oregon.
Well, agriculture is the second biggest industry in our state, and it covers about a quarter of Oregon's land. So that's from rangeland in the high desert to dairies in the temperate rainforest of the North Coast, and then everything in between. We have about 220 different commodity crops that are grown in this state, which is tremendous diversity. If you look at Iowa or Ohio or a lot of the Midwest, you'll see corn and soy and maybe some wheat. But you might also see some of the cover crop that we raise here from seed. So the crimson clover that you see in the fields. So we are providing crops to folks around the nation and the world. And those are extremely diverse. And it's because of the diverse microclimates we have, the excellent soils that we have. And you know, especially in the Willamette Valley, those soils were deposited here about 10 to 20,000 years ago by the Missoula floods. So extremely deep and lush soils that were transported all the way from Montana here at the end of the last ice age. And that is producing a great diversity of crops in this state. When we think about the farmers, there is also a great diversity of farmers. However, I would say the trend is towards more elderly. So the average age of farmer and rancher is nearing 60, which is retirement age in a lot of other professions. And that is causing some concern about who will be the next generation to take on those operations. Oftentimes, there's someone in the family or more than one person in the family who can take that on, which is great. They might still need support, financing, counseling in order to make that happen. But oftentimes, there's no successor, and that family might be looking for someone who can take on that operation. And then lastly, when I'm thinking about farmland, we have about 15.3 million acres of agricultural land in the state, which sounds like a lot. But we did just recently, in the last agricultural census, learn that we lost 4% of our agricultural land from production in just 5 years alone between 2018 and 2023. So that is quite alarming from our perspective that we lost 660,000 acres from agricultural production. Now, not all of that is put under pavement, but some of it was lost to solar installations, wind, or taken out of production because of financial issues for the farmer. So these are all issues that we're trying to address through our tools at Oregon Agricultural Trust.
Thank you, Nellie. Yeah, you mentioned the Midwest corn and soybeans. I'm from Illinois. And so when I moved out here and I saw the blueberries, the hazelnuts, the crimson clover, I was blown away and never looked back. So I'm so grateful that there's an organization like OAT advocating for ag lands out here. I'm curious, question for both Nellie and Andrea, how do you see agriculture changing?
Yeah, great question, Morgan. Thank you for asking that. We see it changing in a number of different ways. I think pretty evident way from a cropping program is there's continued diversification, different ways to make sure that the farming entity is viable in moving through that goes from general day-to-day operations as well as in that succession process. When we look at the succession planning piece of that puzzle, we definitely see Nellie mention that we definitely see some more non-familial succession trends where there might be some operations, some families that don't have someone to step in as the next generation, which is also contributing to why we are seeing some of those ages continue to rise on an average level. So we definitely see that trend when we chat with farmers and ranchers directly. That question is asked quite a bit. I'm happy also to see the question continue to be asked about support for that process, not just for the operation itself, but sometimes for the family too. We see some asks for counseling services, family and business as well. So that's where we're trying to work towards providing those services for folks too.
And just to add to what Andrea said about changes in agricultural production, you know, well, 98% of farms and ranches in Oregon are family owned, which is excellent. And it's quite a contrast also to areas in the Midwest. But we are seeing increasing corporate ownership, absentee ownership, farmland being seen as a commodity that is a more stable investment than the stock market in times of uncertainty. And that is creating some challenges for farmers who are competing with investors to purchase that agricultural land. So the more non-farmers who are out there buying farmland, the more expensive farmland becomes for, you know, especially a first-generation farmer who has difficulty already accessing financing. It's even harder for them to purchase land. And you know, this creates issues down the line. The more absentee ownership we have, the weaker that our rural economies and communities are, because we're not having those dollars circulate locally. They're, you know, a corporate landowner is probably not investing in a local attorney, is probably not buying from the local feed store, is probably not sitting on the PTA or as a volunteer firefighter. And so we see an erosion of rural communities and economies as we see less and less ownership by the owner-operator.
Thank you both. Yeah, Andrea, you talked about support for farmers and ranchers, and we will definitely talk more about how OAT accomplishes that. So keep on listening. For our listeners, what is at stake and why should we all care about the protection of agricultural lands?
Well, we might not all farm, but we all eat. And so we all have a vested interest in protecting the soil that produces our food. Hydroponics is great, but we will probably not feed the world with that. And I'd be kind of sad if all of my food came from a laboratory or a stacked skyscraper. So, you know, American Farmland Trust has a great slogan, no farms, no food. I might extend that out to no farmland, no food. And so the more that we can steward this soil that feeds us, the better off we'll be in in terms of our resiliency in our food systems, also in terms of our environment. We know that soil is one of the best sinks for carbon. And if we want to really mitigate climate change long term, we need to be protecting that as the basis for climate change mitigation. So just having that soil available allows farmers to use climate smart practices if they choose, and creates that also that food resiliency as we're seeing drought and crisis in other agricultural areas around the world and the country. And, you know, I'd add too that, you know, agricultural lands support a lot of different habitat. They support riparian areas. They support migratory corridors. Rangelands support sage grouse, which could, without the great efforts by ranchers, could have become a listed species. So we are seeing a lot of farmers and ranchers who are excellent stewards of their land, who are helping to conserve the natural resources that benefit all of us at the same time.
Thank you. Yeah, natural resources in terms of wildlife is not always, you know, part of the conversation. So I appreciate that you're advocating for that also. So Nellie, you are the executive director of OAT. Can you tell us more about the organization and the mission of OAT?
Sure. So Oregon Agricultural Trust is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and our mission is to partner with farmers and ranchers to protect Oregon's farmland for the benefit of our economy, communities, and landscapes. So we're really thinking of our work holistically in terms of how do we positively impact rural economies? How do we protect natural resources? And how is farmland a framework for achieving a lot of these public benefits that we all care about? And part of that work means that we're partnering very closely with the farmers and ranchers that we work with and making sure that we are fulfilling their objectives for having a viable business operation. Because unless they can do their work well and successfully, we won't have agriculture in this state and we won't have the landscapes that we really care about. So we're thinking about the human element in this work too. So we do work across the state, but we specialize in a couple regions of the state. That's especially because these regions don't have an existing working lands easement holder like us. I'll explain a little bit more about our work, but we primarily protect agricultural land from development in the Mid and South Willamette Valley, on the North Coast, along the Columbia River Gorge, and then in Southeast Oregon as well. The work that we do when we are protecting agricultural land includes working with landowners to sign a voluntary contract called a conservation easement. In our case, it's a working lands conservation easement. And what that agreement does is allow the farmer to get paid for not using the development rights that they have on their property. And a lot of agricultural properties have maybe the right to build more homes or the right to do mining or the right to build a golf course or a solar installation. And so with our work, we can purchase the development rights that they're not using anyways and that inflate the value of that property beyond what a farmer could pay for it realistically. And we pay them for those development rights. We hold those rights ourselves. And by holding those rights, we make sure that this farmer and any future farmers never use those development rights and the land is protected for agriculture in perpetuity. So that is the working lands easement that we do. And it takes a lot of work on our staff's part. It can take a couple of years to get one of these done. And, you know, hundreds of hours by our staff, millions of dollars coming in from state and federal governments. And so this is a lot to coordinate, but OAT is doing this statewide. And currently we have protected three properties totaling about 30,000 acres. We have another 60 projects in the hopper that would protect another 100,000 acres. So there is significant demand for this work and that demand is growing.
I'm happy to hear that. And Nellie, could you tell us more about yourself and why you've chosen this work and how you found yourself in the role of the executive director of OAT?
My family is fifth generation Oregonian, third generation on my family's farm in Yamhill County. We raise about 92 acres of hazelnuts. We have additional land for timber and grass seed, winter wheat, and clover seed. And that farm for me has been more than a business, more than an asset. It's like a family member. It's like your grandparent and your grandchild at the same time. And so when you come from a farm family and you have that deep attachment to the land, it's really important to see that it's well stewarded and cared for even after your generation. And when my family was going through succession, my parents and the generation before me made a decision to sell and subdivide some of our property. And that broke my heart, but it also inspired me to act and find out what are ways that farmers who are looking for cash and who need to pay estate taxes or non-farming heirs as part of succession, how can they do that without having to sacrifice the land that created that wealth in the first place? So that's when I started looking into working lands easements as a way to divide the development rights off of your property rather than divide your property into parcels, and to get money to keep your land in production rather than being incentivized to develop it. So we really look at working lands easements, not just as a conservation tool, but as a business tool for producers. And that's really where our ag business program comes into play as well.
Andrea, go ahead and tell us about yourself too, and why you've chosen this work in agriculture.
Thanks, Morgan. I come from several generations of smaller farmers, but diverse. I have a grandfather that was a dairy farmer, another grandfather that was in the timber industry. My dad worked on ag machinery and equipment. My family is also involved in some farm enterprises, right down to my kids, a big 4-H family that is involved in the community members as well. And I find it to be very rewarding and definitely my passion to work directly with farmers and ranchers, mostly connecting. If I boil that down, and what I really love and what I like to do most is connecting folks together, finding solutions to problems, putting pieces of puzzles together, trying to connect the dots and make things better. And we do that in a number of different ways. How it relates specifically to what I do for Nellie had mentioned the piece, or like I refer to our land protection bucket within the organization of working lands easements. She alluded to the ag business support bucket, if you will, is kind of how I describe it. And we see a couple of different ways. You know, our overarching mission is to make sure farm ground stays farming. One way is definitely working lands easements. The other way, we work towards making sure that farmers and ranchers have the tools that they need and the knowledge and the opportunity to work through the process of succession. That is definitely one of the most direct ways to keep farm ground farming, is to make sure that it stays whole, gets from one generation to the next, or in some cases, a new farmer if there's a non-familial option for succession. In addition to that piece, I also wanted to make sure that those operations knew enough or a lot or all the pieces that went into making sure that that operation was financially stable to get from one generation to the next. Sometimes I think that piece is bypassed a little bit for the end goal of trying to make arrangements and put plans in place. And as part of our program or our ag business support model, we're continuing to develop curriculum to help those operations look critically at their internal operations to say, are we where we need to be? What do we need to do to make sure that not only the farmland itself gets moved through the generations, but also it stays farming, it stays viable, and it can still keep functioning.
Thank you so much for that. Just a quick update, if you're just joining us, I'm here with Nellie McAdams and Andrea Kramer with the nonprofit OAT, and we've been talking about protecting agricultural lands in Oregon. And you're listening to Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. So let's jump back to the topic of support for farmers and ranchers. If we, I would love to dive in a little bit more about the resources and programs that OAT has.
Well, Oregon Agricultural Trust has four different programs. One of them is working lands conservation easements, which help landowners permanently protect their land. We also help other organizations do that as well through our technical assistance program, where we help develop conservation plans and help advise on their land protection. We also do advocacy for funding for working lands conservation easements. Often an easement is worth about 25 to 40% of the property value, and that amount is either paid to the landowner or they receive a charitable tax deduction. If it's paid to the landowner, then we have to do fundraising. And right now that is coming from the state and federal governments. So we advocate about the importance of this work for conservation and rural businesses to make sure that Oregon can receive that funding. Currently, the Oregon Agricultural Heritage Program is Oregon's funding source for working lands conservation easements, and we are advocating for $17.3 million for that program in the next legislative session. So anyone who's interested in learning more about that or who wants to engage with us in advocacy or write to your legislator to ask them to support that program can reach out to us at hello@oregonagtrust.org. And then our fourth program kind of ties it all together. You know, the ag easement piece is important, but how the landowner uses that cash can be very different. Maybe they want to do a 1031 exchange. Maybe they want to do succession. Maybe they want to pass it on to a non-family member. Well, all of that requires a lot of coordination in addition to just having cash. And then we recognize that even farmers and ranchers who don't work with us on an easement are also having these similar challenges. So we want to provide support there. And that's where Andrea's work really comes in.
Yeah, thanks, Nellie. We have been moving and shaking in this department, I suppose you can say, and definitely making some grand developments over the last couple of years. Primarily what you'll see or what you maybe have seen is several opportunities across the state as we put together workshop material, connecting folks in certain areas with their service providers. I kind of wrap that into that technical assistance bundle as well. We do also get phone calls from folks that are looking for service providers if they need some guidance on who might be best to serve them in whatever accountant or attorney bucket that they're looking for. But as we looked at the work that we were doing and tried to determine if we basically we step back and we say, are we doing what we need to be doing? Is there any places that we can be a little more effective? We were finding that although we were reaching a great number of folks through some group type learning, the likelihood that some of those folks would potentially leave those workshops, take the material that we provided to them and opportunities for learning, put it in the back seat of the car, and then they get home and there's another farm type emergency that draws their attention, and the excitement that they built or the direction that they gained in that workshop literally takes a back seat. So in February, we hired our one-on-one a farm and ranch business and succession advising person. We launched our program in June. And together, myself and Tess, which is our person who works one-on-one with folks, we not only work through some of the succession across the table conversations that folks might need a little bit more guidance about, but also having opportunities to sit down and discuss the pieces of the operation that might need an outside eye. It doesn't always spur from conflict. Sometimes it just is a need for someone else to take a peek at what an operation is looking at or going through. Part of our farm and ranch business and advising program has created an opportunity to build resources for our website. There's tons on there, just tons of resources there. And we're constantly developing more. There's a quick start guide for anyone that's looking at trying to figure out, hey, I'm not in the position for this operation to move to the next generation yet, but what can I do today? What can I do to prepare for that? It's never too early to do that. There's some legal entity information on there, and then some financial templates that we're continuing to build as well. So those are definitely pieces that we have available to folks that are looking. I'm a pretty firm believer that when that process starts with an operation, you know, online searches, some reading material kind of gets folks moving in hopefully a positive direction. And if we can most easily have some resources that are easy to digest and helpful, I think that makes it relevant for folks.
Thank you, Andrea. Yeah, if you haven't been to OATS website, they have some amazing resources there. And from what I'm picking up in this conversation, it is important for farmers and ranchers to have an ongoing dialogue. So I'm glad that you're a part of that. Nellie, how can listeners get involved and support OAT?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Morgan. We welcome the entire community to help to partner with us. So whether you're a farmer or a rancher or just someone who really cares about our farm and ranch land, we welcome you to become a member. You can go to OregonAgTrust.org/donate, and members support us at $50 or more per year, or any amount, monthly, recurring. And members are really helping us to cover some of the costs of our advocacy, of putting land protection projects together. So donations and membership really help us get this work done. We also would really value your time and your commitment to advocating for the funding programs that help support our work. So we will be reaching out to our listserv about opportunities to contact your legislators about the Oregon Agricultural Heritage Program coming up in 2025. So during the legislative session from February to June, we'll be in the Capitol. We will be talking with legislators and we will be demonstrating the importance of ag land protection, but they really need to hear from their constituents. I've heard one legislator say that if they get 6 personally written emails from constituents, they know it's a hot button issue. So let's make that happen for everybody in Polk and Marion counties. And if you are an owner of agricultural land and you're interested in protecting your land and talking about what an easement could look at like, please reach out to us. You can just reach out at hello@OregonAgTrust.org. And if you are a farmer or a rancher who's looking for support in succession or business planning, you can also reach out to us at OregonAgTrust.org. We will always be glad to triage you to the right spot, even if we can't meet your personal need. We are well connected with a lot of wonderful agricultural organizations throughout the state, so we can help you find the right fit.
Yeah. Please also make sure that you visit our website, and our events section is definitely continuing to be updated with different opportunities across the state. But really, there's quite a few in the valley here, too. So it's pretty common for us to host a workshop every once in a while here. And so jump on there. You can also sign up for our newsletter and you can get information sent directly to your inbox.
Nellie, Andrea, I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Morgan, for having us. We really enjoyed this conversation.
Absolutely. I've been talking with folks from Oregon Agricultural Trust, Executive Director Nellie McAdams, and Director of Ag Business Support, Andrea Kramer. I hope you leave this conversation today feeling inspired in your own way to develop a stronger connection to our local agriculture. And I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator for the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Conservation Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with OAT. Every effort counts, and together we can make a difference in conserving our natural resources. If you would like more information on this topic, please visit OAT's website, OregonAgTrust.org, and our website, PolkSWCD.com, or our Facebook page for resources on how you can contribute to local conservation efforts. Also, sharing this podcast with others is a great way to spread awareness and encourage positive action. So coming up, we have a couple of events that you may be interested in, and that is on October 16th, 6 to 7:30 p.m., Tribal Perspectives on Restoring Local Ecosystems with Traditional Ecological Knowledge with Dr. David Lewis at the Chemeketa Ag Complex. And we have a tour and volunteer weed pull at our property Cornerstone on Friday, November 8th. If you liked what you heard here on Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM, the third Wednesday of every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening and keep up the conservation conversation.